Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. I'm reading through the Bible with you, and we're in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 10. There are 29 verses in this chapter, and we read from the King James, and then we also translate and comment, make commentary on it. Plus, we have a couple of letters, one from Colorado, and the other one is from Africa. And then, part four of receiving the Holy Spirit. But right now, let's all go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to bless this service. Lord, pour out Your Spirit. We know that Your Spirit brings life. The letter killeth, but Your Spirit brings forth life. Anoint everything that's done on this tape today, Lord. Open up every heart, soul, mind, and give strength to our spirits today that we may live another day, one day at a time, to the very end. For it is written that all those who continue to the end shall be saved, not those that just get saved and then don't pay any attention to continuing on in the Spirit. Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, now, Michelle, where are your letters from? One from Colorado, right?
Yes.
What part of Colorado?
Sterling, Colorado.
All right.
My beloved Pastor Tony Alamo, I am writing you once again, hoping when you receive this letter in your hands that you will be found enjoying the blessings from our Lord Jesus Christ, along with your beloved family and the rest of the body of Christ in your ministry. It's wonderful to see the precious work of God, the precious work God is doing through you. I want to thank you because I received your literature called Earthquake, and through your literature I have been able to convert a lot of prisoners into Christians. Your literature has opened their eyes, and they have decided to follow Jesus because your messages are directly from the living God. The prisoners from SCF Sterling, Colorado facility say there is no doubt that you are the best man of God there is, because you have allowed yourself to be used by God, and because you present the Word of God in its actual state, like Jeremiah and Isaiah did. The people from this prison know a lot about you, because whenever you send me literature, I distribute it to others, including some police officers. They like the precious message, glory to God. Even though there may be trials and tribulations in the ways of God, there is still a happiness deep within. We continue to pray for you so the Lord can continue to pour His blessings on you and that the Holy Spirit lives in you, for which we also ask that you pray for us and especially for my family. The Muslims which I have converted send you God's blessings for saving them from darkness, because you have saved a lot of souls.
Yeah, I can save no one. It's the Lord. Thank God that He gives His word so that we can dispense it, because each one of us has a dispensation of time to dispense the Word of God unto others, and it's not me that does the saving, that's for sure. It's the Lord. And I think these prisoners know that without any doubt. But in other words, they just thank God, you know, that we're instruments. And they'll thank God for you too, those of you in Radio Land, or those of you that are watching our website, with these tape messages. You'll thank the Lord too, and people will thank the Lord for you, and you'll thank God that you've been able to be, to have been used by the Lord. Let Him use you. Let Him live and work in you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, continue on, please.
Your evangelical literature is directly guided by the Holy Spirit to save souls. I have observed many miraculous things God is doing from your literature. Because by God and through your literature, the prisoners here are in a different situation than they were before. They are all highly thankful to God and you for your precious literature. We are not sad, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and this joy keeps us up in difficult times when we don't have the stability to walk or stand. RV from Sterling, Colorado.
It's very thrilling to hear letters like this. We get so many of them. It's unfortunate, sad, that we're only able to read two of them a day, but we have to get read the Bible also, and also explain different passages in the Bible, like how to receive the Holy Spirit. And then as soon as this series is over, I'm going to be doing a series on how to receive the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is going to be a very interesting group of messages that I'm sure you will not want to miss. And you should get your tape recorders going and tape these messages when you hear them on the website or in on radio. We're on a 50,000-watt station from Memphis beginning May 2nd, 2005. It will be on 5 days a week. All right, now the next letter is from Africa. Where's what part of Africa?
Volta region, Ghana.
All right.
Dear Pastor Olumo, I am very much delighted to write you this letter. I hope you are fine by the grace of our living God. My aim of writing you this letter is to ask for some Bibles, your wonderful book, The Messiah, and your newsletters. Please, Pastor, I am asking for these things because I collected one of your newsletters from a friend. At first, I thought it was a storybook, but after reading it, it changed my life. After that, I gave it to another friend, and it also changed his life. This continued until we were 10 in number. From that time onwards, we decided to preach the gospel to people in the villages who worship idols, and many of them have repented from their sins and are now worshiping a living God. We have also decided to start a church. I, as the head of the church, propose naming the church as Olumo Christian Church of Alfeo. Please, Pastor, I hope my request will be granted in the name of Jesus. Thank you, and may God bless you greatly. With love, your brother in Christ, A.K. from Volta Region, Ghana.
Make sure that somebody in the mailing room or Mr. Johnson writes them a letter stating they have my full approval, and I believe without any shadow of doubt they have the Lord's approval to do what he is requesting to do. And make sure you mention that. We'll send them all the Messiah books they need and literature of other kinds, and we'll try to help in any other way that we can. And every one of you people in Radio Land, or those of you that are listening to the website, our messages on the website, you could be involved in this ministry as well by, you know, we've been handling it ourselves. This is the only, this will be the third request that I've made for finances. The work is getting so big that the jobs that we work on are so far still, we're able to do, get literature and Bibles to people, but we could get more and do much more if we had more. So, you know, let the Lord deal with your conscience on this, and it's like the Bible states that there is, you can't outgive God. If you give to a work that's winning souls, the Lord will make your donation. He'll bless you back 100 times, 100-fold, and actually even more than that. I've known that, so I've witnessed that. I've lived according to what the Lord said, and I found out that all the promises that he's made are true. He promised us salvation to the world, to those that believe the whole Bible, which is Christ. And he promises healing. He's already provided it for us. And he's also provided the baptism of the Holy Spirit for everyone. On the day of Pentecost, he already poured out the Holy Spirit upon all flesh. And he stated that he was pouring it out on all flesh, so he provided it already. We don't need another outpouring any more than we need for the Lord to come back and die again for us. He already died for us. He took the beating for our healing, and he poured out the Holy Spirit for us. You just have to receive it. Amen?
Amen.
It's provisions, all these provisions. And also, he has provided, I mean, this is for people that keep the commandments. He's also provided victory. And he stated that we can do all things in Christ Jesus. If we're abiding in him and he's abiding in us, we can ask what we will and he'll give it to us. Amen?
Amen.
All these things are provided. So, you know, there's no need for you to be discouraged or without hope. The Lord has provided everything. So receive it in the name of Jesus. All right, you want to continue?
That was it.
All right, praise the Lord. All right, now, Sharon, let's begin with 1 Kings chapter 10. King James Version we'll start out with.
When the Queen of Sheba visited Solomon. King James Version, verse 1.
See, and when the different people look at your life after you've been doing the will of the Lord, walking in the Spirit, people will look, they won't believe the testimony of you. They'll have to come and see. And when they do, they'll see that the half has not been told, not even a fraction of the witness of your being of the Lord. They'll be shocked, amazed, and they'll be blessing and praising the Lord. All right, so let's begin.
And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions.
Wanted to see if he really was as wise as the testimony, his testimony has been to others. Then what?
Verse 2, and she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Verse 3, and Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. Verse 4, and when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built. Verse 5, and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her.
No, it was just overwhelming. And it's overwhelming when people actually see what the Lord has done in this work, and I'm sure it's overwhelming for people to see the things that the Lord has done for everyone that is doing the work of the Lord. Why do you sit aside or stand aside idle? You just sit idle and not do anything. You have not because you ask not. And I also, the Bible also tells us that we don't have the blessings of the Lord because we don't respond to his commandments. We don't do what he says. Okay, and then what?
Verse 6, and she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Verse 7, howbeit I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Verse 8, happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom.
That's what people say when they come around our church. They say, these people have been with you 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35 years. They're so happy. We can tell that you're of the Lord. It isn't. We don't have any. We've got everything that born of the Spirit, people that belong to the Lord, people have. God has given us more than what we need. And that's why we want to give it to the rest of the people in the world. We've been given abundant wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and we want to pass it on to you and yours and others, your friends and even your enemies, because we're to bless the enemies, our enemies. We're not to bomb them. We're not to kill people. We're to, if they hunger, if your enemy hungers, give them to eat. If they thirst, give them to drink. This is the really true gospel message in the New Testament. Okay, and then what?
Verse 9. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. Translation, verse 1 through 9. When the queen of Sheba visited Solomon. When the queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's reputation, which brought honor to the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. Verse 2. She arrived in Jerusalem with a large group of attendants and a great caravan of camels, loaded with spices, huge quantities of gold, and precious jewels. When she met with Solomon, they talked about everything she had on her mind. Verse 3. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. Verse 4. When the Queen of Sheba realized how wise Solomon was, and when she saw the palace he had built, verse 5, she was breathless. She was also amazed at the food on his table, the organization of his officials, and their splendid clothing, the cupbearers and their robes, and the burnt offerings Solomon made at the temple.
Yeah, talking about clothing, that's why it's so important for the people of the church to dress up and not to look sloppy. Men with their shirt tails hanging out and looking dirty and grubby, trying to portray a message to people that you're such a hard worker that you don't have time to shower or shave or to comb your hair or dress up nice, clean. This is no testimony to people out in the world, because the people out in the world, pretty much, most of them that have jobs and are concerned about a good image, they groom themselves and make themselves look nice. So let a word to the wise be sufficient. Then what else?
The cupbearers in their robes and the burnt offerings Solomon made at the temple of the Lord. Verse 6. She exclaimed to the king, quote, "Everything I heard in my country about your achievements and wisdom is true!" Exclamation mark. Verse 7. I didn't believe it until I arrived here and saw it with my own eyes. Truly I had not heard the half of it! Exclamation mark. Your wisdom and prosperity are far greater than what I was told. Verse 8.
So, see, prosperity is of the Lord. The Lord is not against it, but we'll never be prosperous righteously until we deserve it. Some people go out and they've earned money, and they have been prosperous, but to be prosperous in the Lord is of great value. Then what?
How happy these people must be! Exclamation mark. What a privilege for your officials to stand here day after day listening to your wisdom! Exclamation mark. Verse 9. The Lord your God is great indeed! Exclamation mark. He delights in you and has placed you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loves Israel with an eternal love, he has made you king so you can rule with justice and righteousness. Unquote.
Wouldn't that be something if the people, the judges in this country, ruled in a just manner and with righteousness? In other words, instead of ruling for people that are aborting people, that they would come against them and cause them to be put to death for murdering, first-degree murdering, all the babies that they've murdered, over 400,000 babies. This is the largest Holocaust of all time, of our own people, and on the basis that we don't have enough land. Anyone that believes such a story as that has never flown over the world or even over the United States. You can go hundreds of miles and there's no habitation there whatsoever. There's so much water, plenty of everything that God has provided. Satan wants people to believe that God hasn't provided enough room on this earth, enough water, enough oil. There's much documentation that we have that there's enough oil stored in tanks to provide oil, petroleum, for 300 years, and they're trying to make it look like there's an oil shortage. The world system is attempting to make you believe that, and you believe it, that the prices have to go up and that we need oil from other countries. What this country has done has put a ban on drilling for oil in this country because they want everybody to believe that the earth, that God hasn't provided enough of everything for, if there was 100 billion people on this earth. And that's why the world system government is approving homosexual marriages and lesbian marriages, same-sex marriages, and they condemn those that get married and want to have children. And they're even putting quotas on children because there's just not enough room, they say, on Earth, not enough food. They pay the farmers not to grow food. Now, if this isn't Satan's world system, then what would Satan do more than what they're doing right now, than what he's doing right now in his people? Now, a lot of people say, well, there's some of the fundamentalists that believe that the world is full of good people and bad people, godly people and evil people. Yes, that's true. And anyone that can't see it, you're so far in the dark that you're in the ditch. And those that have conned you into believing such things have led themselves into the ditch and you as well. And there's a judgment coming, and it's coming soon. And every one of you, if you don't get out of that ditch, repent and forsake all your sins and your wrong way of thinking, you're going to wind up in hell and also into the lake of fire, because hell and death is going to be slung into the lake of fire very soon. And don't believe that you're going to be raptured out of the plagues or out of these great tribulations, because that's unscriptural. Jesus is not coming back to this world to pull his people or to take his people out until immediately after the tribulations. And it's sad to believe that you don't believe that we're already in the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of tribulations. We are. Repent or perish. Get right with the Lord now, because we're right at the door. Jesus Christ is standing at the door and will soon return. And if you're still in your blind state when he comes, it'll be too late for you to repent. Get on your knees now and ask the Lord to come into your heart and wash you. By faith, receive the blood of Jesus on your soul and walk in the Spirit, because you're going to fall on your knees now, or you'll do it when he comes back, because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess him to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Right now they're saying evolution is the King of Kings, Buddhist is the King of Kings, he's the way, the truth. All these different false religions are the way, the truth, that the Pope is the way, the truth. But no, every tongue is going to wag, thou art King of Kings, thou art Lord of Lords, you were true, you are the truth, everyone else was a lie. And then it's going to be too late for you. So do it now, and don't consider what I'm saying hate, because how could it be hate that I'm preaching when I'm telling you the truth? You may say God is hate. No, Satan is taking your soul to hell is the one that hates. All right, let's continue on.
King James Version, verse 10. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Translation, verse 10. Then she gave the king a gift of 9,000 pounds of gold, and great quantities of spices and precious jewels. Never again were so many spices brought in as those the Queen of Sheba gave to Solomon. King James Version, verse 11. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. Verse 12. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also and psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees, nor were seen unto this day. Verse 13. And the king and King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Verse 14. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 score and 6 talents of gold. Translation, verse 11 through 14. When Hiram's ships brought gold from Ophir, O-P-H-I-R, they also brought rich cargoes of almug wood and precious jewels. verse 12, the king used the almug wood to make railings for the temples of the Lord and the royal palace, and to construct harps and lyres for the musicians. Never before or since has there been such a supply of beautiful almug wood. Verse 13, King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba whatever she asked for, besides all the other customary gifts he had so generously given. Then she and all her attendants left and returned to their own land. Solomon's incredible wealth and incredible splendor. Verse 14. Each year Solomon received about 25 tons of gold. King James Version, verse 15. Beside that which that he had of the merchantmen, and of the traffic of the spice merchants, and of all the kings of Arabia, and of the governors of the country.
Going back to the last statement, 25 tons of gold. That seems like a lot of gold, but consider this, that the streets of heaven are made of gold. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of gold. In heaven, gold is a put down. You walk on it. Amen?
Amen.
That's for you people who have given your soul, heart, soul, mind, and strength to make money. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and God will add all the things that you need unto you. For sure, it's a promise, and he doesn't lie, and he doesn't fail. His promises are true. His word is true. Then what?
Verse 16, and King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went to one target. Translation, verse 15 and 16. This did not include the additional revenue he received from merchants and traders, all the kings of Arabia, and the governors of the land. Verse 16, King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold, each containing over 15 pounds of gold. King James Version, verse 17, and he made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pound of gold went to one shield, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Verse 18, moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. Verse 19, the throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round behind, and there were stays on either side of the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the stays. Verse 20, and 12 lions stood there on the one side and on the other side, and on the other upon the 6 steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom. Verse 21, and all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. Translation, verse 17 through 21. He also made 300 smaller shields of hammered gold, each containing nearly 4 pounds of gold. The king placed the shields in the palace of the forest of Lebanon. Verse 18, then the king made a huge ivory throne and overlaid it with pure gold. Verse 19, the throne had 6 steps and a rounded back. On both sides of the seat were armrests, with the figure of a lion standing on each side of the throne. Verse 20, Solomon made 12 other lion figures, one standing on each end of each of the 6 steps. No other throne in all the world could be compared with it! Exclamation mark. Verse 21. All of King Solomon's drinking cups were solid gold, as were all the utensils in the palace of the forest of Lebanon. They were not made of silver, because silver was considered of little value in Solomon's day. King James Version, verse 22. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. Translation, verse 22. The king had a fleet of trading ships that sailed with Hiram's fleet. Once every 3 years the ships returned, loaded down with gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. King James Version, verse 23. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. Verse 24, and all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom which God had put in his heart. verse 25, and they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold, and garments and armor and spices, horses and mules, a rate year by year. Verse 26, and Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities for chariots, and with the king at Jerusalem. Verse 27, and the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars made he to be as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. Verse 28, and Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt, and linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. Verse 29, and a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and an horse for 150, and so for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria did they bring them out by their means. Translation, verse 23 through 29. So King Solomon became richer and wiser than any other king in all the earth. Verse 24. People from every nation came to visit him and to hear the wisdom God had given him. Verse 25. Year after year, everyone who came to visit brought him gifts of silver and gold, clothing, weapons, spices, horses, and mules. Verse 26. Solomon built up a huge force of chariots and horses. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses. He stationed many of them in the chariot cities and some near him in Jerusalem.
All this sounds very impressive, but if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, which comes after Proverbs, you'll see that all this to Solomon, after everything was said and done, after all the cities he built, after all the gold and silver and horses and chariots and palaces and wives, he said, all of it is vanity and vexation of spirit. He said, let's come to the conclusion of the whole matter. There is nothing in this entire world that is the duty of man except to fear God and keep his commandments. That's the bottom line to everything. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of the human race. All right, then what?
Verse 27. The king made silver as plentiful in Jerusalem as stones. And valuable cedar wood was as common as the sycamore wood that grows in the foothills of Judah.
And you want to know something? There's no way that you're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power to be able to do the work of the Lord, unless you are keeping all of his commandments. Because he gives the baptism of the Holy Spirit to those who keep his commandments. And we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit in order to be faithful to the Lord, in order to do the work of God. In order to have that, you have to give yourself wholly, totally. I have to give myself totally to the work of God. It doesn't make any difference how much finances you have or how much horses or property you have. That doesn't mean anything at all, because you don't have even a fraction of what the Lord would give you if you gave yourself totally to him. First of all the promises that God has made belong to you if you give yourself completely to the Lord. There's no way that you're going to be used by God. There's no way that you can receive the Holy Spirit or have healing or salvation or to be more than a conqueror or be able to do all things in Christ Jesus unless you totally surrender yourself completely to the Lord. When you do that, your entire world and your whole life will completely change. You'll be really a new creature and all the promises of God will belong to you. And so the time to start now is the acceptable time. Don't put it off. Just say everything is vanity and vexation of spirit. Just as we see all these glorious things that this man did, but the final response to all these things was that it was all vanity. It doesn't mean that he couldn't take any of it with him when he goes, the only thing that will last permanently, forever and ever, will be that which you did for the Lord. And don't think that if you've done a lot of things for the Lord that you can stop doing it or go into retirement or begin doing something else. Say, well, I've served the Lord for 50, for the 30 years, 40, 50 years, or 100 years, and now I'm going to live it up myself. Because if you ever have that kind of an attitude, everything that you did will be totally erased. You can't stack up things and then start living another life. You must continue on to the end to be saved. This is Bible. All right, then continue, please.
Verse 28. Solomon's horses were imported from Egypt and from Cilicia, C-I-L-I-C-I-A. The king's traders acquired them from Cilicia at the standard price.
All of it is vanity and vexation of spirit. Then what?
Verse 29. At that time, Egyptian chariots delivered to Jerusalem could be purchased for 600 pieces of silver.
Vanity and vexation of spirit. Then what?
And horses could be bought for 150 pieces of silver.
Vanity and vexation of spirit. All them horses are going to have to die. Amen? Just
Amen.
Like you are. Then what else?
Many of these were then resold to the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Aram.
Vanity and vexation of spirit. Amen?
Amen. 10 verse 1 through 5. The queen of Sheba came to see for herself if everything she had heard about Solomon was true. Contests using riddles or proverbs were often used to test wisdom. The queen may have used some of these as she questioned Solomon. 10 verse 1 and 3. When she realized the extent of his riches and wisdom, she was overwhelmed and no longer questioned his power or wisdom.
Okay, well, the wisdom is not vanity and vexation of spirit. The wisdom is the thing that the Lord gave him, and it was to be used, though, for the Lord. And he did use it for a while. Okay, and then what else?
No longer a competitor, she became an admirer. Her experience was repeated by many kings and foreign dignitaries who paid honor to Solomon. 4 verse 34. 10 verse 14. When Solomon asked for wisdom, God promised him riches and honor as well. 3 verse 13. These verses show just how extensive his wealth became. Israel was no longer a second-rate nation, but at the height of its power and wealth, Solomon's riches became legendary. Great men came from many nations to listen to Israel's powerful king. Jesus would later refer to, quote, Solomon and all his glory, unquote, Matthew chapter 6, verse 29. 10 verse 23. Why does the Bible place so much emphasis on Solomon's material possessions? In the Old Testament, riches were considered tangible evidence of God's blessing. The prosperity was seen as a proof of right living.
Right, and this is true, but because God does prosper people, but people are not to take it to heart. Or to live as though they are wanton, or to, and the Lord warned people before they went into the promised land. He says, I'm going to give you houses that you did not build. I'm going to give you trees that you did not plant, wells that you did not dig. I'm going to give you the wealth of the land. And he says, but if and pretty soon you're going to get fat and thick. And he says, I don't want you to forget where all this stuff came from. Because if you do, you're going to be puffed up and you're going to forget God. And the Bible states to those that forget God, God shall tear you to pieces. And this is no metaphor. It's real. You see people ungluing all the time. They can't figure out what's wrong with their stomachs, or there's something wrong with their eyelids, or their armpits, or their feet, or their legs, or arms, or their chest. There's all kinds of things happening to people because they've forgotten God, and He's tearing you to pieces. And there's not many people in this world that'll tell you the truth these days. You know, that's not the kosher thing to do. But as far as politics are concerned, it's not a political thing, and it isn't a popular thing for people. We don't become popular. We become very infamous for telling you the truth. Jesus said, they persecuted me, and the servant is not greater than the master, and they're going to persecute you also. But, you know, we're not to be concerned about that, because why? Because we've got the great consolation prize. We're saved, and we're going to heaven. And those of you that don't believe the way the Lord tells you to believe, you are not saved, and you are not going to heaven. And there's no other alternative but to go to hell in the lake of fire. So you have to think about these things, because, you know, people spend so much time earning a living, and they spend a lot of time training themselves to do certain types of work. And a lot of times, just before graduation, be walking across the street and get hit by a bus. But people rarely prepare for eternity, and we never know from one moment to the next when we're going to go out into eternity. So, you know, more than anything else, take the time to prepare for the kingdom of heaven on a daily basis, because this is the requirement that the Lord lays down for people to get into heaven. Then you see these motion pictures where it says, you know, God creates things and says he can't have them. In other words, he creates sex and you can't have it. You can have it, but there's a legitimate way to have it. That's if you're married, and that's it. He creates human beings, but you can't be homosexuals or lesbians. That's right. Why? Because God makes the rules, and he's a dictator. You say, well, we don't like dictators. Well, democracy, you know, dictatorship, you're living in it right now. Democracy says that you'll do exactly what everybody says you have to be. You have to include yourself into this satanic way of thinking in order to be democratic, in order to be peaceful, in order to have peace and safety. We all have to not separate ourselves from the world as the Lord commands us to do, and from all false religions, but we have to be included in the Antichrist regime, the satanic Antichrist regime, which is mainly headquartered in Rome. So, you know, the main thing is for you to ignore all these different sayings and all the different rules and regulations of today's society, because they say society is king. But no, the Lord Jesus Christ is king. God is king. Amen?
Amen.
And not society. Society is going, it's the same society we have today as it was in the days of Noah, where everyone was wrong. Everyone's going to have to die. The majority of people, the Lord said, is going to be in hell, because the mob or the majority has always, historically and up to this minute, have been wrong, have been damned. So you just have to get into the Bible and see what the rules and regulations really are. Because if you want to get into the kingdom of heaven, you're not going to get in under your own terms. The Lord is the one who has set the terms, and you have to abide by them if you want to abide in heaven with him. Well, we don't want to abide with him, you say. Well, then you'll be abiding in hell with the devil just as you abide with him today. There's just no other way. Okay? So let's continue on here.
In the books of Ecclesiastes and Job, this concept is placed in a broader perspective. In ideal conditions, people prosper when God runs their lives. But prosperity is not guaranteed. Wealth is not proof that a person is living rightly before God, and poverty does not indicate sin.
Poverty doesn't mean that you're not of the Lord either. Okay, then what else?
In fact, a greater evidence that a person is living for God sometimes is the presence of suffering and persecution. Mark chapter 10, verse 29 through 31, chapter 13, verse 13.
And Paul said he was hungry and naked, didn't have the things that other people have, but he at times abounded, and at times he was abased. You have to just roll with the punches. Whatever you're going through, just be happy that you have salvation, that you have the kingdom of God, that God has provided the baptism of the Holy Spirit for you. So that means that you have power over yourself, your flesh, the world, sin, Satan, hell, the lake of fire, death. Be happy with that, because all else is vanity and vexation of spirit. Then what?
The most important, quote, treasure, unquote, is not earthly, but heavenly. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. The gift of greatest worth has no price tag. It is the gift of salvation, the healer himself, the Savior, the one who has all power in heaven and earth, who is also offered to us freely by God.
And all power over heaven and earth is he that is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. He baptizes you with the Holy Spirit, giving you the power to not only be saved, but the Lord himself received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit, but became filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of God to live God's life in the ministry. The ministry is what the Lord wants us all in. He wants us to all be in the ministry, and so therefore he's provided the baptism of the Holy Spirit for us to have the power to do that. Then what else?
10 verse 26, chapter 11, verse 3. In accumulating chariots and horsemen, a huge harem, and incredible wealth, Solomon was violating God's command for a king. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 14 through 20. Why were they prohibited? God knew how these activities would hurt the nation, both politically and spiritually. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 11 through 18. The more luxurious Solomon's court became, the more the people were taxed. Excessive taxation created unrest, and soon conditions became ripe for a revolution. With everything he wanted, Solomon forgot God and allowed pagan influences to enter his court through his pagan wives, thus accelerating the spiritual corruption of the nation. God gave all the wives that David had to him, and Solomon could have had all the wives he wanted if they were of the Lord.
If they were Hebrew and if they believed in God, but not idol worshippers. Okay, then what?
But he was forbidden to take ungodly pagan wives, wives that all they thought about was sex or things of the flesh.
Okay. All right, so that was 1 Kings chapter 10, King James Version, translation and commentary, with his 29 verses. And now, the most important thing for us today is to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because we must, according to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, we have to walk according to the law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus. So how are we going to be able to walk according to the law of life in Christ Jesus if we don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Now, life begets life. So begetting life means that we must be in the ministry in order to beget life into others. Paul stated that he had begotten many sons by the preaching, by the Holy Spirit, by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in and through him. He said he did more work than all the other apostles put together, yet not him. It was Christ who is now the quickening spirit, which means the life-giving spirit. Okay, so to receive the Holy Spirit is extremely important, because we need to have the Spirit in order to walk in the Lord. Jesus said, you can't do anything without me. Without me, is impossible to do any godly thing. So he has become the life-giving spirit, so we need him, and then we need, he stated, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is written that ye shall have power after you receive the Holy Spirit. lot of people say, well, we have received the Holy Spirit just as the disciples received the Holy Spirit when Christ, on the night, he resurrected in the morning, and then in the evening he appeared. He came right through the walls in the flesh and blew his breath on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So they had the Holy Spirit, but then he said, now go to Jerusalem and tarry for the Holy Spirit, the empowering, the outward empowering of the Holy Spirit, and to be filled with it, with fire and water and tongues of fire. So he's telling us all that we need both to be have the life of God in us, and which is the Spirit within, and we need to have the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit without, which also is within. And so in this series now, receiving the Holy Spirit, has to do with that. And as I said before, the next series will be after this, how to receive the fullness of the stature of Christ. And you won't want to miss that. Now, let's go ahead with part four, receiving the Holy Spirit. And I've already told you how to receive it. God has already given it on the day of Pentecost. Amen?
Amen.
And how do you receive salvation? By faith. Amen?
Amen.
And how do you receive healing? Because it's already provided. You just have to agree with the Lord that, and believe him that he provided it for you, so just receive it. And then how do you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Just, it's already been provided. God poured it out, and it's being poured out. He's pouring it out on all flesh. All you have to do is just thank him, praise the Lord. Receive it. Believe and receive. Amen?
Amen.
How do you have victory over all the problems in the world today? Just give yourself completely to the Holy Spirit, to the Lord. All right, let's go with part four, receiving the Holy Spirit.
The way to be filled with the Holy Spirit. One, the accomplishment of the objective fact.
Okay, what is the objective fact? The object, the fact of, hey, we want to walk in the Spirit because we have to walk after the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's the objective. Now, what is the fact or the truth of this? How do we get this? How do we get to our object, the object of our affection, the objective, the objection, the objective, rather? Okay, so let's read some more.
In order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need first to know that as far as the objective fact is concerned, that's your object, both aspects of inward and the outward have been accomplished already.
See, everything God has provided everything for us way back around 2,000 years ago. First of all, he died and provided and shed his blood and gave us salvation. That's provided. It's a one-time thing. It's there already. We don't have to have him come back and die again and again and again for each person. It's a one-time thing. It's a done deal. And then he also took a beating so that we have healing. That's the provision for us. It's a one-time thing. He's not going to take another beating so you can be healed. You're healed. That's all there is to it. And then on the day of Pentecost, after he resurrected from the dead, we have the resurrection. Now, that's been provided. So we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things are provided for us. And we walk in the Spirit now. Then he blew the breath of life into his servants, and we have that now. Now we have to go further. This is not enough yet. We have to have the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that was provided for us also on the day of Pentecost. So, why are you not receiving what the Lord has already provided for you? You have to receive by faith. He said, in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That means you as well. Are you made out of flesh? Yes. So he said, all flesh, A-L-L, that doesn't leave you out. You're not a person that's not included in it, because if you're flesh, The Spirit is being poured out on you, but you have to receive it. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It's a provided thing. You say, well, not for me. Well, then you're saying, God, you're a liar. Okay?
Yeah.
No, you're the liar. If you're saying that these things have not been provided, you're saying that the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was of none effect. And you're a liar if you say that. Now, all these things are provided for you, and so the Lord wants you to receive them. Okay, continue on.
It's a done deal. It's been accomplished by God for us. The Holy Spirit, as life within us, was given on the night of the resurrection. While the Holy Spirit, as power without, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, descended on the day of Pentecost. There's a song that was written by a man called A.B. Simpson that says, "Doubt not the Spirit given long ago."
Doubt not the Spirit given long ago. Given, that means it was given to you. Amen?
Amen.
Doubt not that. Because by doubt, you're not going to receive the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power. If you're just like a weekly, you're up one day and down the next, and up one day and down the next, you need to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And doubt not the Holy Spirit that was given long ago. Amen? Can you receive that? Do you think that God is a liar? No, if you think so, you're the liar. Amen? Now receive ye the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Receive your healing. Receive salvation. Receive victory over whatever you're going through right now, because it's already provided for you. Amen?
Amen.
God did these things. He's not going to pour out the day of Pentecost again. It's a done deal. The Spirit has been given. Now take it. Okay, then what?
The descending from heaven of the Holy Spirit is the same thing as the crucifying of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right, that's a done deal also. He was crucified, and your old man that is crucified with him, okay? You're not going to come down off the cross and then sin some more and then go back to the cross and be crucified again, are you? You don't try it, okay? Because you must continue on to the end in the Spirit. The Lord doesn't allow people to go back and forth like that. He's not going to come back and die for you again. Now, that's the same thing as somebody came and gave you $100 million. And then you take it, and then all of a sudden you throw it away in the sewer. Then you go scrambling for it again. You're not going to get it. Amen?
Amen.
Or he gives you $100 million in gold, liquid gold. And then you just pour it down into the river, and it just sweeps down the river. How do you want to get it back again? No, you have to keep it. This is the day of disposables. But don't think you're going to dispose of the Lord and the different gifts that He's already provided for you. These are to be precious because they are precious. All right? You're to keep them. Then what?
Both are done deals. Both have been accomplished. They are accomplished facts.
Right. In other words, Christ has died on the cross for you, and you are crucified with Him. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why Paul said, I die daily. I just have to get up and begin denying myself all the things that come my way. Temptation, you go out on the street, temptation comes, you have to fight. It's like a fight to keep your soul. Satan is after your soul to contaminate it, to make it to where it's spotless, to where it's full of spots, rather, and blemishes, and also wrinkles. And the Lord says you must be spotless, without wrinkle, without blemish, in order to get into heaven. So it's, if you feel that you want to spend eternity in heaven, then it's worth fighting for. You have already all these gifts, so keep them. In order to keep them, you've got to battle spiritually. You have to take your eyes off the world and give yourself totally to the Lord, as I stated before earlier. Then what else?
Now the Lord Jesus Christ does not need to be crucified again today or crucified again and again. Neither does the Holy Spirit need to descend again to this world. God does not have to give the Lord Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for men again to be crucified for us. neither does God have to send down the Holy Spirit again to fill man within and without.
Right. Jesus said, "Behold, I am he who is dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore." Amen?
Amen.
I'm not. In other words, alive forevermore means I'm not coming back to die again. Amen?
Amen.
You have to receive his life and stay alive. Amen? Because the soul that sins shall die. You won't be alive anymore. And Jesus is not going to die again for you. Once was enough. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so receive that. And that he's not going to pour out more of the Holy Spirit than he already has. There's more than sufficient Holy Spirit. If your spiritual eyes could open up, you'd see and look up in the universe above you, in the atmosphere, it's just filled with the blood of Jesus. There's enough blood of Jesus there to wash away all your former sins. And if you ignorantly sin, it'll wash away. The blood is so abundant, because this is the blood of the actual Son of God, the Son of Man. Now, it's God himself inside the Son of Man, but it was like a tremendous feat that he has accomplished for us. He died and shed his blood, and I saw it. He showed me a vision of it one time where I looked up, and I had done things that were wrong. I said things that were wrong, and so on and so forth, and the Lord showed me the blood. This was done ignorantly, so just receive the washing. You did it in ignorance. And so I did. This was going back 23 years ago, and I was so happy that that could happen. And then he said, there's enough blood to wash the entire creation of God, the human creation of God. And there's enough of the Holy Spirit. If your eyes could open up, he's pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. But people are not concentrating on God. They haven't given themselves totally to him, and so therefore they're not familiar with the spiritual realm, or they're not sensitive to the Spirit. It's just as though they're immune to being able to receive the things of the Spirit, because they're so carnal. Because the spiritual man cannot the carnal man cannot receive that which is spirit, because he's carnal. He can't receive that which is spiritual. And the things that are spiritual are foolishness unto him, and God is not going to pour out his Spirit or his salvation or healing on anyone that thinks that these things of God that he's provided for humanity are foolishness. But in reality, you're foolish. Okay, so continue on now.
God has already accomplished these things.
For us, yes. And then what?
God has already accomplished everything for us. So there's no problem, really, with the exception of our own receiving the Holy Spirit by faith.
I just accept it. Why? If somebody stands here and holds out $1,000,000 to you and you just don't accept it, you don't receive it, well then, shame on you. Amen?
Amen.
Well, this is worth more than $1,000,000. It's worth more than anything in the world. Far more valuable than silver, gold, diamonds, rubies, emeralds. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power from on high, that's poured out upon all flesh. Now to those that receive it then, and have it, and enjoy it. Okay, then what?
In order to gain Christ as our Savior and experience the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior today, we need only to receive him into our hearts as our personal Savior. Likewise, in order to obtain the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter whether it's inwardly or outwardly, we also need only to have faith to receive him by faith.
The faith is the key to everything that heaven has. Amen? It's so simple that the very simplicity of it, it stumbles the people of this world. God made it so simple that even a moron, if they just believe, can receive it. they can also receive wisdom and knowledge and understanding and not be morons anymore. Like the people that are the head of the world government. They are very moronish, insane. And even the people on the street know they're insane. And the Bible says that there would be perplexity of nations, the national leaders of countries, and that they'd be mad. That means insane in these last days. And that, like I said, the average person on the street knows that they're insane. They're crazy. They're destroying the world. So God is going to come down and do it for them.
Though to what extent you receive the Holy Spirit, it's to the same extent that the Holy Spirit will fill you.
Right. Now, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit a little bit, or you can be filled with a medium amount, or you can just really be swimming in the Holy Spirit. It depends on how much faith you want how much of the Holy Spirit you want to receive, because it's there abundantly. More abundantly than you could ever even imagine. It's there for you to take as much as you want. Take, and take it without money, no charge whatsoever. This is one ministry that's not going to charge you for anything. We send you Bibles, it's free. We send you literature, tapes, they're free. God freely gave it to me, and I'm going to give it freely to you because God wants me to do it that way. If you want to be blessed, then you tithe to this work. If you want to see it extended throughout the entire world even more than it is already, well, then be part of the ministry and be blessed with it. Okay, and then what else?
Now I will have you study separately two different aspects of receiving the filling of the Holy Spirit. 2, the way to be filled with the Holy Spirit inwardly. We'll start out there. The way to be filled with the Holy Spirit inwardly is as follows. 1, we have to empty ourselves. In order to receive the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, to come alive, we must first confess our sins to the Lord. And 2, we have to repent of our sins.
You have to give up your sin for life. You have to empty yourself out. Because how can the Lord move into a junk heap? He's not going to do it. You're just filled full of sin. You're filled full of all your own ways, and your mother's way, your dad's way, and your people that you've admired before that are not godly. Empty yourself out. If you want to receive the Lord, He's not going to come into... He'll come into you just as you are if you're willing to empty yourself. Then what?
Repenting of sins means that you never are going to do it again.
Right. Sinning, repentance means you become, you're a caterpillar, and then you become a butterfly. That's a total metamorphosis. You're changed. You're a new creature. You're not a crawly, creepy worm anymore. You're a butterfly. You're a spiritual being rather than a carnal being. And so you don't go back to being a caterpillar or a sinner again. You stay a butterfly. It's better, isn't it? It's more beautiful. Okay, then what?
This is emptying yourself out, and you must accept the fact that Christ died for you. Likewise, in order to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you must first accept the fact that you have died with Christ on the cross. Then you must deal with sin, the world, the flesh, your self-opinions, your ideas, your natural abilities.
Dealing with it means you just don't have any part of it. You turn away from it. If you don't want to eat an orange, you don't eat an orange. Amen?
Amen.
If you want to eat an apple, you eat. You do what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
You just don't look at sin. You don't take care about it whatsoever. All right? You can see it, but you just don't receive it. You just concentrate on the Lord. All right, then what else?
For the reason is to the end that you may completely be empty, or that you may completely empty yourself of all these negatives, allowing none of these things to have any place in you at all, but rather allowing the Holy Spirit to obtain all the ground, to give him all the place or the ground in us. If you will respond to the demand of the Holy Spirit, removing everything that must be removed, and forsake everything which must be forsaken, thus emptying yourself and letting the Holy Spirit have all the space and authority in you, then the Holy Spirit automatically will fill you, and you will subjectively experience and enjoy the infilling of the Holy Spirit.
But if you're listening to rock music and you expect God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, if you're listening to, you just love lusting after men if you're a female, or women if you're a male, or if you're a woman with a woman, or a man with a man, don't expect to receive anything from the Lord. You have to forsake everything of the world and everything of that is satanic. Empty yourself out so that the Lord can move in. If you're going to rent a house and bring your family, your children, you don't want to bring them into a house that is full of sin and corruption and killers, murderers, abortionists, homosexuals. You don't want to bring them in there. And the Lord doesn't want to come into a house like that either. So you have to get rid of all these things. God is a holy God. He's not cool like a lot of these reprobates say. He's the almighty, holy, eternal, living God. And he is all power in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus. And he has provided all these spiritual, beautiful, wonderful, everlasting, eternal things for you. And so you have to empty the house in order for him to come and occupy it. If you can't understand why you're so weak, if you can't understand why you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, take a look at yourself according to the Word of God and see that maybe you haven't emptied yourself out. And I'll guarantee you that's what it is. Give it up, the world, because the world is going to soon be burnt up and everything in it. Only that which is eternal, heavenly, spiritual, will be lasting forever in heaven. Now, there's things in hell that will last forever, but you won't want to be there. There's no way that anyone could even explain. We can tell you partially of how horrible it is, but there's nothing like experiencing it. Some people have laid their hands on a grill, a hot grill, and tried to keep it there, or to wash their hair in a boiling French fryer of grease. This is just a fraction of what it's like in hell. You won't want to be there. So get filled with the Spirit. Empty yourself out so God can move in. It's a whole new realm. He's not going to come into a dirty, filthy house. He's going to wash it, but he wants it to stay clean. And so you cannot keep filling yourself up with the evil. You have to forsake it, utterly forsake it, the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And put on the full armor of God. Let God fully dwell in you so that he can fill you fully with the Holy Spirit and the power from on high to keep you walking one day at a time to the end. Okay, then what?
For this reason, I place this lesson of being filled with the Holy Spirit after all the experiences and the dealings of the flesh and all the other dealings.
Okay, so this is Pastor Tony Alamo. You've heard 1 Kings chapter 10 with its 29 verses, King James Version and the translation, and the two letters, one from Colorado and another one from Africa, and then also part 4 of receiving the Holy Spirit until chapter 11 of 1 Kings and part 5 of receiving the Holy Spirit. This is Tony Alamo. Hopefully you'll let me be your pastor, saying concentrate on these things, empty yourself, work on emptying yourself, work on, just take it. How do you empty yourself? Just take your eyes off of everything that is satanic, that the Bible says is satanic, and get your eyes on the Lord. And that's the way you empty yourself. So until tomorrow, God bless you and praise the Lord.